Welcome back, Miss Seaton. Lady Culverden, emerging from the post office, sounded pleased and slightly relieved at the same time. Several weeks had passed since her ladyship's son and his bride had been handkerchief-fluttered on their honeymoon way by family and friends. Many guests had gone straight home after the wedding. Miss Seaton was one of those who had elected to make further visits in the north before returning to Kent. "Were the Highlands as spectacular as ever? And did you enjoy the Lake District? But of course you did, or you'd have come home sooner. I hope your friend, Miss Walkham, isn't it, was well when you left?" Miss Seaton beamed. "Dear Anne, such a treat to see her again and spend a few days catching up, rather than relying on letters. And in so lovely a part of the country. And famous, of course, for swallows and Amazons, which I had never read as a child. I was at art school when it first appeared. But so many people spoke of it in glowing terms that in the end I had to read it to find out why, especially as the second edition was illustrated by the author himself. And it was excellent." Lady Culverden smiled. "Yes, the books were excellent. Though I always found his technique for drawing people a touch bizarre. Julia didn't much care for the way you seldom saw more than the backs of their heads. And when Nigel was very young, he used to talk of the children not having proper faces, and wondering if that was because they lived in the olden days, and he was glad he didn't." "Dear Nigel," again Miss Seaton beamed, "he and Louise looked so very happy. Have you heard from them? Are they well?" "One postcard," said Nigel's fond mother, "and he forgot to put a stamp on it, so it took ages to arrive. But nothing dreadful seems to have happened to them." She smiled again. "Or to you in the Lake District. Arthur Ransom captured the idea of the scenery very well, don't you think? And the sailing pictures have a good deal of atmosphere." Miss Seaton, retired teacher of art, could not disagree. "I believe he never cared for faces because he found them difficult. But he does indeed capture atmosphere very well. We visited several places thought to be his original inspiration for the lake, and in more than one I felt I knew where I was almost before I was. There, I mean. Anne is a most careful driver, and very sensible about not letting herself become distracted, which a guided tour of the local sights might very well do. Pointing things out, that is, while still on the move, rather than stopping in a convenient place to do so." She chuckled. "Until she was told about the heron, I should add. After the telephone call, I fear that on our unexpected journey to Blackpool, she drove rather faster than her usual cautious speed." "Heron?" Lady Culverden tried to look as if she understood. "Telephone call? Nyctanassa violacea." Miss Seaton was rather proud of not stumbling over the Latin. "Dear Anne, promised," she is an enthusiastic birdwatcher, "there would be much of interest, and to be sure to pack my binoculars, which of course I did. And there was, quite as much as in Scotland. Many birds one does not see in these parts, and then a friend called to let her know that a yellow-crowned night heron had suddenly appeared on the beach just north of Blackpool, all the way from America. Caught up in high winds in the Gulf of Mexico, I understand. And the poor thing was blown on the deck of a cargo ship heading for England." "I remember now," her ladyship wrinkled her forehead. "Yes, the television news. One of those snippets at the end, meant to leave you feeling more cheerful than the previous half hour ever does. Didn't the crew take care of it all the way across the Atlantic? Only before they could hand it over to a bird sanctuary to be properly looked after, it escaped. To be properly, or rather thoroughly, looked at rather than looked after," Miss Seaton smiled. "So fortunate that by the time we arrived, the authorities had taken control of what had seemed, at first, likely to become a somewhat disorderly situation. Serious bird watchers, I understand, often descend in their hundreds upon even the most distant locations, should a sufficiently rare bird be spotted.